Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the regular meeting of the Fairbanks City Council. It's July 8th, 2024. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Ms. Sprinkle?
I'm here.
Mr. Marnie?
I'm here.
Ms. Rogers?
Here.
Mr. Ringstad is excused this evening?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
Here.
Ms. Tidwell?
Here.
Mayor Prus?
Here. Madam Clerk?
We will rise, if you can, for the invocation and pledge. This city council meets to serve the Fairbanks community, to represent its residents fairly, and to use city resources wisely. May we be reminded of the responsibilities that we carry as public officials and hold ourselves accountable to the citizens that we serve. Amen.
Amen. Mr. Merritt, would you please lead us in that Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Madam Clerk?
Do you have any ceremonial matters this evening? I don't think so.
Well, no, but I would like to congratulate the fire chief and the fire department on winning a gold standard for the second year in a row. Great job there, sir. The service that the fire department in EMS and fire gives to the city of Fairbanks is, again, best probably in the state of Alaska. And chief, very appreciated. Please keep up that diligence, sir.
Okay, we're moving on then to citizens' comments, oral communications to the city council on any item pertaining to city business that is not up for public hearing. The total comment period is 30 minutes and testimony is limited to 3 minutes. Any person wishing to speak needs to sign up on the list located in the hallway. Respectful standards of decorum and courtesy should be observed by all speakers. Remarks should be directed to the city council as a body rather than to any particular council member or member of the staff. In consideration of others, please silence all cell phones and electronic devices.
First up is Ms. Webb. Please state your name for the record and you'll have 3 minutes.
My name is Juanita Webb and I am co-chair of the Diversity Board here in Fairbanks. I just wanted to take a moment to make sure you guys were aware of what we've been doing. And the last time that I met here, we had a wonderful article, I don't know if you guys got to see it or not, about the Diversity Council and about the Human Library Project coming up. Our first event will be on the 20th of this month in this chambers. And then towards the end of the month, we're gonna be participating in the inter-tribal powwow that's happening as well. So we're excited about that. And I don't really have anything other than if anybody knows of anybody, right now we are down 4 members. So if you know of anybody, please send them my way. That would be great.
4 members.
We just had 2. We had one that left a couple months ago. She told us, though, because of business and everything, that she wouldn't be able to. 2, it's 2 members that haven't re-upped. And I'm going to start. I won't verbalize that.
Okay.
Pretty quick to work on that. But obviously, we need more people because we're not going to stop.
Okay. We'll get there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions for Ms. Webb? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Greatly appreciate it. Next up is John Salzman. Mr.
Thank
Salzman,
you,
you have to state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes, sir.
John Salzman. Thank you, Mayor. I'm not sure if I'm doing this right because it's my first council meeting, but I've seen the ordinance about blight property, and I've seen also Councilmember Ringstead has said to take it slow, which I would appreciate because I work out of town, and I read the article in either the Newsminer yesterday or this weekend coming back from Arizona. I believe my wife and I used to own a blight property. We still own it. It's the old Tamarack Inn. It has issues just like the Polaris building does. Yes, sir. Okay, I wasn't sure I was doing it right, so. Yes.
3 minutes then too, okay?
Thank you.
Next we have Casey Gillum. Ms. Gillum, state your name for the record, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Hi, Casey Gillum. Good evening. I am here today as my in the capacity of the Director of Communications at Explore Fairbanks. Thank you for the opportunity to be here and give an update tonight. One of the many things that my department is responsible for is working with travel media to encourage them to visit Fairbanks so they can create and craft stories and share information about our area with their readers or viewers. In May, the Communications Department had the pleasure of attending two different events that provided us the opportunity to meet with travel media, including editors, writers, photographers, bloggers, and more. The first week of May, Jerry Evans traveled to Los Angeles to attend the IPW event, which is the travel industry's premier international marketplace. He had 24 scheduled one-on-one meetings with media on the day dedicated to media members. Many of those were international media from some of our key markets, including Germany, China, Japan, Australia, India, and Brazil. He also spoke throughout the remainder of the event with approximately 20 more media members, encouraging them to visit Fairbanks. As a result of that event, we will be hosting Phoenix Satellite Television in February or March, which is one of the most popular Chinese TV stations in Asia. I also traveled to Galveston, Texas, to attend the North American Travel Journalists Association annual conference. Some of you may remember that we actually hosted that conference in May of 2023. It is one of the largest professional associations of travel media in the continent. There were about 15 media members in attendance and 30 destination representatives like myself. I met one-on-one with about 20 of them during the Marketplace event, which was a three-hour trade show period during that event, and had countless conversations with other media throughout the event. As a result of that event, we have already scheduled to host in September a woman named Evelyn Cantor, who is the president of the International Motor Press Association. She will be probably pretty obviously visiting the Fountainhead Antique Auto Museum. She'll also be riding the Alaska Railroad, and we will fill her days here with lots of fun Fairbanks activities. Thank you so much for your time tonight and the ability to give a presentation, and thank you for your reinvestment of bed tax dollars that allow us to showcase Fairbanks to travel media.
Ms. Rogers.
Do you have an idea of if the journalists are going to bring their conference back to Fairbanks at any time?
They go on a rotating schedule, so next year it is in Palm Springs. It will probably be a number of years before it comes back to Fairbanks because they do like to travel throughout the continent, and sometimes they even go to international locations as well.
Okay. I think you know I'm very interested in the conferences coming here, and we need to work with the smaller groups like that to get the word out about how well we can handle such a thing. So,
absolutely. We have been talking to some other organizations that are similar to the North American Travel Journalists Association about potentially hosting their conferences here in Fairbanks in the future.
Okay. There's still doubt about us as a destination for that, but we need to dispel that, and with your help, we will.
Thank you. Thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. Greatly appreciate it, Ms. Gillum. Next up is Mr. Bruberge. Mr. Bruberge, please state your name for the record, and you'll have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. My name is Victor Bruberge. My name and address are on file. I'll just kind of be short and sweet today. I don't get around as much nowadays as what I used to, but I remember we were going to get a new toilet downtown this year. It might be here already, and I just don't know it. You know, so if there is, let me know, and so I can go test it out here the next few days. Anyway, I appreciate it. You guys keep up the good work.
Large parts of it have arrived; others, not quite yet. But it's scheduled to be operational by August.
Okay. What about the lights on the old Steese? Will they be operational by August?
Well, you know, according to this report that was generated because of your inquiry, we have 9 lights out presently that we have work orders in on half of them. We're getting a bid for the other work orders, hopefully to be done, but we have to see if it comes in over $50,000. If it's over $50,000, then we have to put it out for bid. So we have Star Electric that does all of our work, and were on it, but it surprised me that there were so many out. So I thank you, and for what you do and how you do it, because you're basically helping out Fairbanks being more safe. That whole area will be redone next summer, but we still have to have lights for the winter of 2024. So yeah, thank you.
I appreciate it. And you guys keep up the good work.
Yes. And thank you, sir.
I'll try to be nice from now on. Thank you.
And we have, back by popular demand, Darlene, come on up. Please state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Hello, my name is Darlene Herbert, and I live at 906 Woodlawn Road, and I'm going to be speaking on this ordinance number 6284, but is that later?
That's later, yes.
Oh, okay, I'll wait.
Thank you, Darlene. Madam Clerk, is there anyone signed up online?
No, sir.
Is there anyone in the gallery who would like to speak? 3 minutes. Come on up. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Natalie Neubauer. My sister Chris and I are proprietors of the Botel Bar, and I understand that there's been noise complaints addressed from one of our dear neighbors. And I just kind of wanted to let you guys know what we do to prevent noise complaints and to keep happy neighbors. And so I'll just go down our list. One is we have a 14-foot high privacy fence separating us from the neighborhood. We also, when we book bands, we purposely only book them on Friday and Saturday evenings in the summertime. So generally, like this summer, there is only 17 dates that we have live music outside. And the sound guys that we work with us every summer, and they work every show, and they're well aware of the sensitivity to noise for the neighborhood. And so our variance is from 11 to 1, and at 11, they will turn down the volumes and still have the live music outside until 1, but the volume will be lower. And the other thing when I book bands is I make a real point not to book aggressive music or music with foul language, because we are very aware that we live in a neighborhood, and I live in that neighborhood, and I don't want my neighbors unhappy with me. So I just sort of wanted to lay out on the table that we're not ignoring our neighbors in any way or desensitized to what we're doing over there. We are always trying to keep it copacetic and always trying to improve the speakers, the stage. We put money back into the property specifically for those reasons, the privacy fencing, that type of thing. That was all I wanted to say. Any questions for me?
Any questions for? Yes, Ms. Rogers.
We've had various people calm down for the last two or three meetings now.
That's what I heard, yeah. Yes.
And I'm aware that you're aware, because I'm trying to think of there was comments from our mayor that he was going to be speaking with you also.
Yes, and of course.
So, and those of us who have lived here for a long time or who have worked with that type of circumstance, mm-hmm. I don't know if you know my experience with that. I've performed live music in this town for 45 years.
Yes.
And many times have been in outdoor environments in order to do such. I also worked with the Fairbanks Arts Association for over 20 years, closer to 25, and we had a variety of different circumstances with the gazebo or with just artists in general or theater. So the idea of the realm of performing,
yes,
even indoors, is to be successful for everyone involved, your audience needs to have some sort of, and they do have some sort of say in how the work is being accomplished, because people can get up and leave, for one thing. So they have a say right there.
That's true.
However, as you mentioned, you detailed the parameters that you try to offer your audience, which is the best that someone can do.
Yeah.
I have to wonder how well the intentions are working, given that we have so many people complaining about it, because it's not easy to decide that you're going to rearrange everything in your time zone to come down to city council meetings. That's usually the last resort. So how much feedback do you get from customers regarding their own circumstances, or from neighbors, or that sort of thing? Surely you must have some sort of dialogue that you can share with
absolutely, us. Absolutely, yeah. I mean, obviously, I know most of the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my parents started that bar in 1971. My sister and I took it over in 2003. Mm-hmm. We've been doing live music outside for over a decade.
Yeah.
Since 2008. And the feedback that I get from most people, because most of the neighbors are there for live music, because there's a very strict timeline, obviously living in Fairbanks, that we have the ability to appreciate music outside, is positive. But there are a few neighbors that are unhappy with the noise. Again, we're talking about Friday and Saturday evening during the summer. We don't book music during the week, with one exception last week, because the Harp Twins, that's the only time that it fit into their schedule. So that was from 7 to 9 in the evening on Wednesday. But other than that, it's always Friday and Saturday. And a lot of the times those neighbors are either out at the lake or they're at enjoying the live music, with the exception of a few.
And you mentioned that you have a pretty good percentage of neighbors close by who mm-hmm. come over for the
yep,
music.
Absolutely,
so
yeah.
A plus testimony, yeah.
Yes, and yeah, for sure. And all of them have offered to come in, but I told them that probably wasn't necessary. But yes, many of the neighbors are close by. They walk over for the music. Again, it's just a Friday and Saturday evening during the summer.
And there's a definite a variance that you adhere to.
Yep, absolutely.
And I've understood that to be so.
Yes.
And that between 11 and 1, you say you turn down?
So at 11 o'clock, the sound people who work with us every show, they've been working with us for years, they know to turn down the levels a little at 11 o'clock, still keeping people that are outside in the yard occupied with live music. There's very few places anymore where you can have live music outside. And again, the music that is being played out there, three of our acts this summer feature harps. You know, we're not talking about death metal or anything aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
We try to keep it copacetic for the neighborhood, and we do that on purpose, and we've always done it that way.
And so one of the things that's been brought up in our conversation about this is the decibels. Uh-huh. And do you do decibel levels, or have your sound crew do that?
So basically, when you're talking about decimal levels, they're not measured, right? There's no, like, you guys don't have a set limit for that, or the city doesn't. However, we don't use subs, which is like that deep bass
mm-hmm.
that you would hear. The only time we did use it was solstice, because it was solstice and... You know, there's a huge block party, and the run is going by there at like 11:30, just for entertainment value. But generally, with your live music, they're not using subs, which is that deep bass that would be really annoying.
Yeah.
Again, that's the sound people are well aware that they don't want to blow away the neighbors in any way, you know.
Well, I bring this up because it was mentioned several times, and quite a few years ago, I used to coordinate the talent contests over at the fairgrounds for about 13 years, actually. And that was one of the things that we had right in the requirements of the young bands who came in to perform, was that there was a decibel level that must be adhered. And the sound crew, of course, was in charge of the sound. And so if somebody could, you know, do all sorts of things up there, but the sound crew could keep it at a level that didn't have everyone rushing out of the tent.
Yeah.
So is that anything that's ever been brought up? Because it's come into our room here. So have people brought that to you as a possible solution?
No, as my knowledge, the city doesn't have a decimal level. Again, we try to keep it low, you know, for the neighbors after 11 o'clock.
Well, but
still entertaining the people that are in the yard.
The decibel level doesn't necessarily diminish as much as it maybe appears in discussion like this. There's lots of equipment that measures it quickly, easily. You can go with, you know, a half a dozen or more bands and use the decibel level on each one of them differently. So there's a possibility of, I bring it up only because there's a possibility of being both sides coming out, even Stephen, on this discussion.
Yeah, I'm going to have to defer that to the sound engineer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why I don't do the sound, because it's not my wheelhouse. But that would be something that, if you wanted to send me an email with specifics, I could ask him those questions.
Okay.
Ms. Sprinkle, you're next.
You're on mute, Ms. Sprinkle.
Ms. Sprinkle, you're on mute. Thank you.
So if we created an ordinance that gave a decibel level, it would be maybe a way to look at fixing the problem that you say that only one neighbor has, but I think we have a few complaints from that. We haven't done it, but it might be an option to look at. I was also wondering if, could you do acoustic sets towards the end of the night?
My opinion is that we have 400 to 500 people in the yard that like the music. And it's on Friday and Saturday evenings. You know, again, we have 17 shows this year. I don't understand why we would have to minimize the live music experience. You know, because there are a few neighbors, one in particular that, you know, she bought that house knowing that the Botel was right there. That's a council issue for you guys, but that would mean that the street fair would have to abide by those, the fair, anywhere else that did live music outside during the summer. In my opinion, we have such a short time to enjoy outside in this city.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Natalie, looking at your design at the last show you had, you've built your stage so any music will face away from the neighbors.
Right.
And basically it's a very short amount of like three structures on that road. Mm-hmm. Is basically it.
Yeah.
That I would say are impacted. And there's only right now, besides yourself and maybe the street fair, the only outdoor music presence is now starting at the cabin. That's
yes.
The only two I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
So this, you are on a riverfront site.
Mm-hmm.
With your music going away from the neighbors, but
yes,
you still have
Yeah, the next thing that we would like to do is our brick wall from the building that faces the stage, there's some reverb off that, and that's the next thing that we would like to fix. However, financially, we won't be able to do that quite by the end of this year, but we're hoping next spring that we'll be able to put some sound dampeners there, and that'll help some.
So a noise ordinance, you'd be saying, okay, is it where the noise starts or the music starts,
mm-hmm,
or where it ends, or how far it goes? What is it when it leaves your property? So you're getting quite technical on something like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Mr. Marnie.
Well, I appreciate you coming down tonight. To me, it sounds like you're trying to be a good neighbor, and I'm sure we can work this out.
I appreciate that. We really, really do. You know, we have, Chris, my sister and I are from this town. You know, we are here because the people, we love the people, and we love to entertain them, and, you know, we're not planning on going anywhere, so we would like to work it out. But we are also providing entertainment to 400 or 500 people for those few shows that we have in the summertime.
It would be easy to hide and not address this situation.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Are there any other questions for this person? Natalie, thank you very much. Greatly appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Yep. One more person, Victoria Dowling. Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else wishing in the gallery here wishing to speak on any items that are not on the agenda for ordinance? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Madam Clerk.
We are at approval of agenda and consent agenda. Consent agenda items are indicated by asterisks. Consent agenda items are considered together unless a council member requests that the item be returned to the general agenda. Ordinances on the approved consent agenda are automatically advanced to the next regular meeting for second reading and public hearing. All other items on the approved consent agenda are passed as final.
Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda? Mr. Marnie, second by Ms. Tidwell. Does any council member wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? Seeing none, hearing none, the agenda is adopted. Madam Clerk.
The consent agenda approved the regular meeting minutes of June 10th, 2024. It also advanced to the next regular meeting, ordinance number 6286, an ordinance amending the 2024 operating and capital budgets for the third time, introduced by Mayor Prews. It accepted the Fairbanks Diversity Council meeting minutes of May 14th, 2024. Returning to the general agenda, we are near the top of page 2, item 8, special orders. The Fairbanks City Council will hear interested citizens concerned with the following alcohol license application for renewal. Public testimony will be taken and limited to 3 minutes. This is for license number 5998, Riverside Eats and Drinks.
Do I hear a motion to waive protest on the alcohol license renewal application?
So moved.
Is there a second? By Mr. Marnie. Is there any citizen wishing to speak on this alcohol license renewal? If so, come forward and you'll be given 3 minutes under testimony. Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Clerk, has anyone signed up to give testimony remotely?
No, sir.
Okay. Council, discussion. Seeing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
On the motion to waive protest, Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Rogers?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
The motion to waive protest passes by a vote of 5-0. Madam Clerk?
Item B of special orders. The Fairbanks City Council will hear interested citizens concerned with the following manufacturer direct shipment license application. Public testimony will be taken and limited to 3 minutes. This is for license number 5353, doing business as Fairbanks Distilling Company. The applicant is Patrick Levy. Location is 410 Cushman Street.
Council, is there a motion to waive protest? Mr. Marnie, is there a second? Mr. Clayworth, okay. Is there any member of the public wishing to come up and speak on behalf of this alcohol license number? If so, please come forward. You'll be given 3 minutes. Seeing none, public comment is closed. Council discussion? Seeing none.
You never looked.
Sorry, what's that? I apologize.
Just a question for the clerk.
Oh. I didn't have my glasses down, sorry.
I don't think I've ever heard of this one before, a manufacturer direct shipment license. Is it a new one?
Keen eye, Mr. Cleworth, that's correct. This came along with the Title IV rewrite that the state did in the last, over the last year and a half and implemented as of January 1st. So an explanation is in the memo of what the direct shipment license authorizes. It authorizes the holder of a brewery, winery, or distillery license to sell the holder's product in response to an order for shipment to a person who is located in the state, and it's not for resale. So I did inquire with AMCO if this was sort of always allowed and just not regulated in statute, and that is the case. So they've created like a sub-license under the main liquor license or alcohol license for this type of activity. All that being said, we do have, the attorney and I have plans to sort of have a work session with the council on some of these Title IV issues that are coming up and see if we need to address some of these things also in our code.
Is there a limit on these or no limit? I would assume no limit.
The limit as far as the number that can be issued? I don't believe there is. I think it would just go with the number of licenses that exist, okay. The parent licenses that exist.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Any other questions? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
On the motion to waive protest, Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Ms. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
The motion to waive protest passes by a vote of 5-0. Madam Clerk?
Item C of special orders. The Fairbanks City Council will consider whether to veto the decision of the Fairbanks North Star Borough Planning Board to approve a request to vacate the 33-foot wide section line easement within TL-2315 section 23T1 South R1 West Fairbanks Meridian. This is VA 004-24.
Council, this is an interesting one, as no motion is required if the intent is to allow vacation of the section line easement. A motion is required if a council wishes to veto the decision of the planning board. So is there a motion to veto the decision of the planning board? Seeing none, motion fails. Madam Clerk.
Mayor's comments and report.
Boy, after speaking the things of Victor's items there and giving congratulations to the fire chief on what he did, that was great. I see Ms. Dowling in the audience here and want to congratulate her on the wonderful award that she, Ms. Rodriguez, you're the new name. Yeah, but Liv, congratulations on the award that you won here recently that was presented to you, being a Golden Heart, one of the best people that could get it. Congratulations to you, and a great job on our downtown solstice that happened. And I did not eat at all the dining establishments that you planned for me to eat at.
There's always next year.
Thank you very much, and that is my report. Madam Clerk.
First round of council member comment.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Nothing to report, except that it's 11 o'clock here.
Suck it up. Ms. Tidwell. Mr. Marnie. Ms. Rogers.
I will pass on several things, but I did want to comment on some of the discussion that we had previously, because I really do see where there's really good possibility of resolution for the difficulties that is being experienced in the neighborhood by the hotel and all of that. I think that's both sides have an interest in coming together, I believe. And I'm looking forward to a good solution is what I'm saying.
Okay.
I think we can all help in providing a good solution. There's lots of ways to help that consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Clayworth.
I'm going to wait to the second round. Thank you.
Madam Clerk.
Then that brings us to unfinished business at the bottom of page 2. Ordinance number 6284, an ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code by enacting section 10-208 to prevent and address blight, introduced by Mayor Pruse and council members Sprinkle and Ringstad. This is second reading and public hearing.
Council, do I hear a motion to adopt ordinance number 6284? Mr. Marnie, is there a second?
Second.
Is there any citizen wishing to speak on ordinance 6284? If so, please come forward and state your name and area of residence for the record. You'll be given 3 minutes to speak. Mr. Salzman, okay, now please state your name and
John Salzman, live at 257 Charles Street. I'm sorry for being out of order. Like I said, it's my first council meeting. My wife and I own the former Tamarack Inn property, which 4 years ago I think would have been a blight because the cops were being called because vagrants kept getting in and out. We do believe we have it finally boarded up because every time we would get them out, they would find another way in. But now you pretty much have to be about 12 feet tall to get in. I do agree with Mr. Ringstad's comments. I've been out of town. I've seen the 2 articles in the Newsminer. That's how I know about this ordinance. If we are a blight property, I would like to know because our wish is to build our retirement home on that property. But unfortunately, I'm not a personal friend of Senator Murkowski, because we have some of the same issues with that property that the Polaris building has as well. But if it is just a matter of if our police services are being called and that's the majority of the blight, I don't think we qualify under that anymore. But if it is, I would like to know because I work out of town quite often and going with the, I can't remember the, how the fines progress, but I know that it increases greatly. But I ask that the council, as Mr. Ringstad said, don't put the stick before the carrot, if I remember his response correctly. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Mr. Salzman?
Thank I have one.
Yes, Ms. Sprinkle.
I guess the problem I have with a lot of these properties is that doesn't happen overnight. So you've had a property that's been a problem for a while. You may be working out of town, but this is an issue that you've had on your hands for how long?
Well, the property went into tax foreclosure and we bought it because the gentleman, I can't remember his name, was going to make it into a brothel dormitory. And we had 3 daughters living right next door. So we bought it to keep it from that happening. We've lived there next door to it since 2002, and we can remember cars driving slowly by, somebody getting out, walking in. 5 minutes later, that same car comes back around. Person that got out earlier gets back in. So we know there were drug deals going on there. So originally, we bought it to keep it from going back into that sort of hands. I just had to have hip surgery. They are not inexpensive. Mine was close to $100,000. And like I said, if I had a friend like Senator Murkowski, that we could get a grant just like the city of Fairbanks did, it would be nice, but we don't have that. We are trying to get it done. We think we have it boarded up properly. Police have not been called to attend or get anybody out in over 2 years. I don't know if our property is what you're considering to be a blight property. I mean, I'm unsure if it's just because the police are being called or is it because, yes, it's falling down. I'm sorry, I can't do anything about that at the moment. I don't have $100,000 to ship the asbestos and PCBs out of state because that's hazardous waste and cannot be disposed of in state, as Mayor Pruse knows from the Polaris building.
Mr. Salzman, here's something I want you to think about, these numbers. In 2023, the most phone calls for police assistance came from the borough transportation terminal. 108 phone calls.
I believe it. I've seen the...
So technically, I could make that a blighted property.
Correct.
But those are certain things you don't do, and you work with everyone.
Correct.
And I believe that's what, you know, we'll be discussing later.
Okay.
You know, I mean... And I'm very familiar with your property and the history of it and how it froze up and they didn't pay the electric and everything. So you've been a great owner.
Yes, we paid our taxes. I'll let
you
know
that you've been a great owner.
Thank you.
And I thank you for that. And you are also saddled with items that are just disproportionately so cost prohibitive, you can't do it all at once.
Correct.
So we'll be discussing more and things like that. And I believe that this ordinance will be able to address those things for you.
Okay.
So, but thank you for coming down.
Thank you.
And also thank you for what you're doing with that property. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, we're trying to get it to be better so that the city can collect more taxes. But like I said, it takes a while, and I just had $100,000 hip surgery. So
you're bionic, okay.
Not quite the $6 million man, but close.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Salzman? Yes.
I was going to make one other point. I think that if we'd had this ordinance in place, you wouldn't have had to buy the property to protect yourselves. And I think that's what I'm really hoping to do is make sure other neighbors don't have to live with those kinds of properties. And I appreciate what you've just said. And as the mayor has said, we want to work with people for sure. Thank you.
Thank you. I mean, I see the saplings are growing up, so you can't see it from Mini Street as like they used to. Unfortunately, if you go down Charles Street, it's right there in a sore eye. But we think we have it boarded up enough that nobody can get in. And as we get the funds, we would like to get it down. And as I said, build our retirement home on it.
Appreciate it, sir. Any other questions for him? Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Anyone else wanting to testify on this? Ms. Dowling or Darlene? Darlene, please. Thank you. Please state your name and address for the record, and you'll be given 3 minutes.
My name is Darlene Herbert. I live at 906 Woodlawn Road, and I'd like to say some words on this ordinance 6284. I read about this ordinance on the newspaper, and I really didn't like it because it sounds very scary to me. Because I believe when you buy a piece of land that belongs to you, but it doesn't belong to the city, the mayor, or city councilmen. And I think there's just too many rules to be living in Fairbanks if you're gonna pass this ordinance. And I would like to continue living here. And me being a Native woman, it's very scary for me to have very many rules because there's not very much I can do if I come under the rules of this ordinance. And I think that everybody that owns land in Fairbanks see this, and then you start making rules on people that somebody didn't like. And this is too scary for me. It's just too many little things you have to follow here, like criminal activities. How do I know what, I mean, if somebody next door to you is very dirty and everything, I mean, I think it should be up to the neighbor to make that complaint. I don't think it should be up to the mayor or anybody sitting on the council to be saying, hey, you don't belong there, so you need to clean it up. And if they don't clean it up, you kick them out and keep their land or their house. And that's just, That's just not right. That's just plain down scary. When you think about it, it's very scary. That's all I wanted to say.
Are there any questions for Darlene? Thank you very much. Any other people want to testify in regards to ordinance 6284? Ms. Dowling, okay. Please state your name for the record, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Thank you. Good evening, members of the Fairbanks City Council. My name is Victoria Dowling, and my address is on file. Thank you for allowing me to speak today in support of Ordinance 6284 and 6285. Both ordinances are crucial steps forward in improving the quality of life for Fairbanks residents and visitors. Having testified before this council several times over the past 5 years regarding blighted property in my neighborhood, I am deeply invested in solutions for the future of our city and how we plan to address this issue and the people it is actively impacting. The provisions outlined in Ordinance 6284 are crucial because they allow the city to identify and address properties that pose public safety or health risks, such as those lacking running water or having dangerous heating methods. This ordinance gives property owners a fair time frame to fix these issues or provide a remediation plan, which helps ensure accountability and community well-being. Recent developments underscore the need for thorough enforcement of these standards. While improvements like restoring essential services show progress, it's vital to meet all safety and health standards to prevent further decline and keep properties from becoming unsafe again. Consistent application of this ordinance is key to maintaining our neighborhood's safety and appeal, and I am confident that the city can effectively enforce these rules with the necessary resources. As a homeowner and a vacation rental owner who welcomes visitors from around the world to Fairbanks, I have witnessed firsthand how blighted properties detract from our community's appeal, because tourists asked me directly why so many properties in Fairbanks are in decline. They notice it and they ask me this. Additionally, I would like to voice my support for Ordinance 6285. This ordinance will further encourage investment and improvements in our community, contributing to the overall revitalization of Fairbanks. In conclusion, I urge the council to pass Ordinance 6284 and 6285 tonight. They are both positive measures that will not only enhance property values and visitor experiences, but also ensure Fairbanks continues to be a safe and welcoming place for all. Thank you, council members, for your attention to this critical issue and for your dedication to improving the city.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions for Ms. Dowling? What's that? These are questions from the council or myself. Ms. Dowling, we're here in part because of you. How many times have you been to my office about properties that affect you negatively?
Not only your office, but the prior mayor's office. I have visited several times to try to help my neighborhood.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any other questions for Ms. Dowling? Ms. Rogers.
Could I ping pong that question for that you could answer with which particular properties that you might have been referring to in your comments?
I'm not sure if I want to spotlight a specific person's address in my testimony.
No, like a neighborhood or such.
I live downtown close to the Clay Street Tenant Cemetery. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think that answers this question. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for Ms. Dowling? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to testify on this behalf of this? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Mr. Sanders, would you please take those photo packages and give each council member a package of both? One is about 9 pages and one is 4 or 5 pages. What these are photographs I just took of properties this Saturday. And these are what I call ones that we would send letters to and ones that we would not send letters to. That way you can see what I look at and how I look at it. You know, I look at this, we've looked at this over and over again, and basically there's a term I would use, and it's real estate porn. You know it once you see it. And I'm going to show you what my definitions of things that need to be addressed and cleaned up, because they affect the neighboring properties. Now, all these photos you're going to see were taken by me in my vehicle, just driving around, rolling down the window, and taking a photo. And so the first one I want you to take a look at, Ms. Sprinkle, I know you don't get to see it. Look at 1A, and then right next to it is 1B. Look at how the items are in the street right away. Look at 1B, and you can just see the depth of items that need to be removed and cleaned. Now, we have an ordinance here that has time frames, and we're going to have some thoughts on different time frames, but also no property, no issue is the same. There's photos like 1A and 1B might take a whole summer, a whole year to clean up. Then you go to item 2A and 2B, same property. Looking at that, that property will take 2 to 3 summers to clean up. So my intent is not to be finding them every day. The intent of this is to have people come in, explain to them the issue in detail, and work with them on a plan to fix it if they can. That's what this is about. Now, as a city mayor, I have a lot of latitude on fines, not implementing them, but waiving them. And what I found this year, I'm pretty good on, you know, everyone gets one on a fine. You'll find that business licenses, people say, I didn't get this, and I have a $50 fine. My license fee is only $40. And I always say, that's fine. Everyone gets one. We're waiving it. In parking violations, vehicles that were towed, the best example is the latest one was our solstice event. We had 4 cars towed between Friday night and Saturday morning because the Public Works did not put out the no towing, the no parking areas and locations. Someone else did, so they weren't as adherent to it. So we had 4. So I was granted all immunity. No fines for the towing, no fines for storage, anything like that. And that's the power of the mayor that makes Fairbanks a good location, makes Fairbanks Fairbanks. The mayor can say on fines, you're right. It's in code, but I understand your issue. We get to do that here. Look at item page 3 or property number 3. Again, from the street, look what's there. Page 4, property 4, look what's there from the street. You see the rubbish piles, the buildup. Page 5, look at the 8 rows of tires that are basically in the right-of-way that act as a fence with trees growing up, and then behind it, all the rubbish items. Look at number 6, again, from the street. It's in the street. It's in the street. Now, 7, this is an interesting one. But if you look at 7, you say, well, you know, that there's some good, there's some bad there, but you have a couple vehicles that are very inoperable, windows broken out, trees growing up around them, and I'd be looking at the property owner, and I'd be saying, okay, this is going to be an easy one if you do it right. You can do this, this, and this, and let's get this done. Then look at the second set of photos, 4 properties that need no corrective actions. page number one with the photos, all the cars are, you know, there's a lot of them there, but they're not deemed inoperable except for one that has a cover on it, but everything looks fine. Page two, again, multiple vehicles, the Connex, things like that. I just look and say, yeah, there's nothing wrong with this. Number three, again, nothing wrong. Number four, a person has construction going on. He has items in his yard. Looking at that, that person's been working on that property for 3 years now. He's fixing up a property and uses his site as construction. So that's sort of how I look at the properties and the issues and what we would do. And what this ordinance does is if they don't agree with me, they can bring it to you for your hearing it, for your judgment. So you have checks and balances. A mayor only has so many days. A city council only has so many days. And with those days, you have different personalities that will occupy these seats after we're gone, if this ordinance passes. So this gives a check and balance to whoever's sitting here and who's ever sitting there. Their definitions may vary, but a resident can come before you and hear from you what you decide and submit to you their side of what they need to do and how they need to do it. You're the final arbitrator in this. Now, I look at this ordinance, and let's go to page two on the schedule. And I looked at this, and I think we all agreed at our work session. Owners, it says that owners have 10 business days from notice violation. And that, as Mr. Salzman said here, you know, we have people who work outside, do things like that. And so my thought is there, you change that number to 30 or 60, something like that. Then you come down under remedies. And again, it says, you know, in the third line there, it says owners failing to adequately address blighted property violations within 10 days, that would be the 30 or the 60. And then violation by an alternate timeline will occur several in $300 per business day. That's too excessive, and we all know that. So I was thinking more of $300 in a calendar month, something like that. But that's only if they have not come in and addressed it and we have not figured out a plan for them. This is very, each property is different. Each property is an individual. If they don't agree with what I want them to do, or if they can't do it, they can come before you for adjudication of that. So those are my thoughts on this. Those are the changes I would like to see made. Council, any discussion? Ms. Sprinkle?
You know, I come back to 23rd and Rickard. You know, if this had been in place, the city wouldn't have had to find the man who owned that property that let it get so bad that 62 tons of trash were removed, but only after we got permission to do it, almost begging him to do it. So I feel like for anyone to be scared or thinking that the city wants to just take properties, that's not what this is about. It's actually to give the building department some power to do something better, public works to do better cleanup. And I'm okay with the numbers you're changing. I think that's great, but I think we need to allow the people who are responsible property owners and the neighbors to feel like the city has their back, because we've seen this kind of property neglect go on for too long.
That's why we're here, and I concur with your thoughts, Ms. Sprinkle. But again, my thoughts are, let's change the schedule and the remedies to be more accommodating to the city of citizens of Fairbanks. And everyone that falls under this, I as a mayor will be very accommodating to them if they can do it. If they can't do it, well, we'll have to figure something out for them. If there's a difference between financially can't and financially won't. And that's some of the questions I'll have to ask. Now, we are hiring a person to work at this apportionally too. And I think that person will be very good. We have not hired him yet, but we've gone through the interview process. So we're there. I mean, we're getting ready for liftoff. And knowing that person, I think he will be very good at interfacing with the public. I mean, we're Fairbanks. We interface with our wonderful Fairbanks, and it's very good. We're the city of Fairbanks. We're a government body that works very well. My office door is always open, you know, once or twice a week someone just walks in. I never deny a meeting. That's what makes this city wonderful. Past mayors have done that. So on these issues that come up, I would say over the first year, we're going to be doing a lot of notification. And you're going to hear how we do, if we're doing it right or if we're doing it wrong. And the council has the power to come in with ordinance and adjust this to accommodate the citizens in a better way if we need to. So, anyway. Yes, Jerry.
Oh, Mayor, I'd like to amend.
Okay.
On page 2, under section D and E, to first change the 10 to 30 days.
Okay.
And the penalty, $300 per month.
Is there a second to that? Okay.
A second.
Jerry, I'd like you to amend that to under remedies, under the third line where it says 10 business days, make that 30 business days too. That matches up with what you did.
That was in the motion. I said both D and E to change the 10 to 30.
Okay. Discussion. Ms. Rogers.
Could I hear for the makers of this ordinance what the logic or reasons were for bringing it to 10 business days and these that we're changing right now? What was the reasoning behind having it that way?
Just looking at trying to get something on paper. You know, we'd been working on this for so long. So the thought was get something on paper, show it to everyone. We've had two work sessions on this. What do we like? What's right? What's wrong? And so getting something on paper, and that probably slipped past me in the beginning, but we started bringing it up, and then Mr. Ring said it was very, I would say, adamant at our last work session. He was correct, you know, in regards to people getting notifications within 10 days. We have a lot of people who are, they travel in the winter. They work remotely, things like that. So, and, you know, so many times this year that someone came into my office and literally said, I was gone. I didn't get this. And perfect. Everyone gets one. And waive the fee. I was at the 100th anniversary of the Wien air flight, and I'm cooking and serving ribs. And I serve this guy a rib, and he goes, I'd like to thank you for waiving my late fee. You know, I said, oh, okay, well, there you go. So we're not trying to create revenue by fines. We're trying to give good notification, extend notification if needed, and extend timelines for them to give us a plan, depending on what the situation is and how impacted the property is. Because, again, no two properties are the same. And this afternoon, I'm a real estate broker. I'm showing a fourplex to another broker and their clients. Beautiful fourplex, downtown Fairbanks. We walk out, and right across the street, you see it. You just see the piles of rubbish on a house that have been there for years, and they're asking, can this be cleaned up? And it's impacting the value and the possible purchase of that property. And there it was for me today. So, yes, Ms. Rogers.
Is And I guess because I'm not sure I communicated it well the first time, but you know, where it says owners failing to adequately address blighted property violations within 10 business days. And I'm wondering how the discussion became so tight on.
I answered that question for you.
Allowing people.
I answered that question for you.
It was just an overlook, oversight.
Just oversight, yeah.
Because it seems punitive. It seems arbitrary. It seems.
That's why we're correcting it now.
That are not going to get us a good result with working with the public.
Mr. Martin.
Well, I think we need to advertise this or let the public know as much as possible, and that's probably through the news minor, but give them a chance to know that a tsunami is coming to Fairbanks, and we're going to take out a bunch of blighted property that is worthless. It needs to be changed. We have a problem in this town of properties that are just trash dumps. We need to get them cleaned up, and this is a good move.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Can I throw something into that?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Along with Lonnie's comment is that it's not the properties, it's the property owners. They need to be cognizant of what their lack of interest is doing to our city. And I think that's the property just sits there and doesn't care. It falls apart. But you're right, Lonnie, we should give people a little heads up, but this is part of that.
You know, little by little, bit by bit, this council has really worked hard over the past few years to make Fairbanks a much better place. And this is a part of it. This is a part of it. Any other discussion? Ms. Rogers.
I just wanted to reinforce what Mr. Marty just said, because I think that it does need a special attention announcement through whatever means. Having the news minor or the television stations or other operators of such PR that we're doing such, because I can tell you that I've been to a lot of community meetings and council meetings long before I served on this council. And John, you said this is your first time, and you're not unusual in that most people haven't come to a meeting or are going to see what this is. So we do need to have that kind of, I think, definite campaign to make sure that we get the word out. Everything needs to get the word out. And it's very difficult to reach everybody in a way that truly informs people. So we need to make that effort.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Does anyone need the motion to amend repeated? Okay, on the motion to amend, Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Mr. Marney?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Ms. Rogers?
Yes. The amendment passes by a vote of 5-0. Now back to the main motion. The main ordinance and motion as amended. Any discussion on ordinance 6284 as amended? Mr. Cleworth.
Thank you, Mayor. I need a clarification. Again, on page 2, it would be item number 5 up at the top. Currently, it reads properties containing unregistered, inoperable, unrepaired, uncovered vehicles for more than 90 days. Is there a word possibly missing there, unrepaired or uncovered vehicles? Do all these have to apply, or just one of them?
It'd be one or more.
So if somebody just has an unregistered vehicle.
No, actually, no, I'm mistaken there.
It'd have to be all of
them. Right? Yeah, it's all of them there, sir.
Okay. So to the city attorney, are you comfortable with the way that reads then? So that's clear to the general public that we're saying all of those have to apply.
I think that
matches the sponsor's intent, that all of those would apply. So, if they've got a vehicle that's inoperable but covered it in a way that it wasn't, posing some kind of risk or attractive nuisance, that would satisfy that. I think that matched the intent of the author.
Okay. I appreciate that clarification on that. I think the comments I've had from the general public prior to the meeting have been, some for, some against. But the main concerns were that we could utilize selective enforcement, or that it's too easy to trigger this. To answer the second one first, under blighted properties on the first page there, it says that properties with two or more following conditions may be considered a blighted property. It's not will be considered, but may be considered, and it has to meet two of the criteria. Now that's going to be a little stiff to get a property on that list. And if you read through that, it would be hard to selectively enforce, because you look at number two, that would be triggered by the fire chief. It would have to come from the fire department. Chronic nuisance properties are something we've spent a lot of time looking at in our code. If my memory is correct on that, you have to have two complaints, three now? I read
in a six-month period.
You have to have complaints, and that's not coming from the city. It's coming from residents or people in the community. And you keep on going on down there. A lot of these have to be triggered by the building department or the police department. Chronic nuisance issues go to the police department first, if I remember the code correctly. So there's a lot of barriers you have to jump over to get on to that list. To those who are concerned about selective enforcement, this is the procedure by which a property gets on it. The city has a great deal of hope that the property owner will deal with it, because our budget for abated properties is pretty much nil. And we might go, how many do we do this year, Mayor?
This year, we've done two.
Two. We did two. After a lot of notification and trying to work with the people and everything else, we don't have the money to do many of these. So it is our desire that people can help us do it themselves and stay off of this list. So, and the final part to this is the mayor ultimately isn't the final hammer. He doesn't make the final decision. There's an appeal rights here. And that's the last part on the last page there, that you can appeal it right to the city council. To use an example of that, we had a liquor license one time where a fire inspection revealed some problems with a furnace. And in order for that person, when they testified, to fix that, it was so costly as to be absurd. And there were other remedies for that, but technically still in violation of our fire code. They came before city council, and city council gave a waiver to that, because the logic of the testimony we heard made sense. And our code at that time, no code fits all situations all the time. I don't care how well you try and draft it, it just doesn't work. And so it goes to administration first. If people aren't happy, then it can come to council second. That rarely happens. Rarely do things get that far at the city. So there's some safety nets that are put into this to protect property owners. If we've missed something, then we can always go back and correct it later on. But I mean, the most important part is it has to trigger two of those conditions to may be considered. It won't, will be considered. It has to be looked again at by staff to go, okay, yeah, it's triggering these things, but we shouldn't be wasting a lot of time on this issue. So, I hope there's enough safeguards in here that people feel a little more comfortable with it. Thank you.
Ms. Sprinkle.
I also want to point out that the 9 items that are using that we've listed as trigger points are already in city code. So it's not like we've made these up to bring a threshold of trouble. It's just these things are now being used in coordination to help us identify those properties. So they exist already. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other tests, any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Yes, and this is to adopt ordinance 6284 as amended. Ms. Rogers?
I'm going to say yes.
Was that a yes? Thank you. Mr. Marnie?
With all these changes.
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Mr. Cleworth?
Yes.
Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Motion to adopt ordinance 6284 as amended passes by a vote of 5-0. Madam Clerk.
On to ordinance 6285, an ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code Section 74-36, Economic Development Property Tax Exemption or Deferral, and enacting Section 74-37, Tax Incentive for Property Development, Redevelopment, or Renovation, introduced by Mayor Prus and Council Members Sprinkle and Ringstad. This is second reading and public hearing.
Is there a motion to approve ordinance 6285? By Mr. Marnie, is there a second?
Yes.
By Ms. Sprinkle. Is there any people in the public who would like to discuss, give 3 minutes of testimony on this? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Council, as we discussed, I believe, agreed to postpone this until the last meeting in August. Is that correct? Any other? Mm-hmm. Okay, is there a motion to postpone?
The point of order, I think you're referring to the other one.
I think both of these.
I defer to the clerk then.
I think there was some discussion at the work session about possible postponement of this ordinance. I don't recall a specific date. There was, of the 3 ordinances that addressed property, one has been postponed, I believe, till either July 22nd or August 26th. And I'm not certain. I can check on that
for you. The second meeting in August.
But this one, a motion would be needed right now if you wanted to postpone, because the motion on the floor is to adopt.
And yes, and at our last work session, you wanted me to put together a committee, and I wasn't going to be putting together a big committee, but Ms. Sprinkle said whatever happens, she wants to be involved in it, and she will. And so my thought is if we could get this postponed, there's a lot of work to do on this, a lot of clarification that needs to be done. And yes.
Could I suggest that we postpone, especially so since Ms. Sprinkle is eager to participate? I know she...
Well, she's going to, yes, but yeah. As she said, she's one of the sponsors of this, one of the writers, and so is Mr. Ringstad. Mm-hmm. And I sent a text earlier in the meeting here to Chief of Staff and to Margarita. I want to talk with Christoph and also with Clem to see if they believe in these incentives mm-hmm. work or will help or will bring more people in, things like that. Mm-hmm. There's a couple people who've developed multifamily properties who I want to talk with to see what the borough did, if that helped them or if it brought them in, if it made a difference in their development. And so there's just a lot more things that I want to find out. You know, Mr. Clearworth is, from our finance meeting, he's hesitant about losing the revenue from this. And so my immediate thought was, in many ways, he could be right. Would they have the incentive anyway, or does this give them the incentive? And I haven't determined that yet. I want to talk with people to see mm-hmm. that determination. Hence, our wish to postpone.
Thank you.
So, is there a motion to postpone till August 26th meeting? Mm-hmm. By Ms. Rogers, or is there a second? By Mr. Marnie. Discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Yes, sir. Ms. Tidwell?
Yes.
Ms. Rogers?
Yes.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yes.
Mr. Marnie?
Yes.
Mr. Cleaver?
Yes.
The motion to postpone Ordinance 6285 passes by a vote of 5-0. Madam Clerk.
Okay, moving along to item 14, committee reports and council member comments.
Ms. Tidwell, we will start with you.
I don't have any committee reports.
Mr. Marnie.
I do. I attended a Explore Fairbanks board meeting about a week ago, last Wednesday. Just a routine meeting, well attended. You know, they attribute a lot of what happens in this town as far as the tourist industry, and I'm glad I'm part of that. Other than that, we had a great meeting tonight. Great public comment, and everybody have a nice evening.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Hey kids, I have a Chena Riverfront Commission meeting on Wednesday. I'll be doing it via Zoom. I'll have a report back to you after that. And otherwise, all's well going here in South Carolina. So thank you for your support and allowing me to be here.
No issues with hurricanes?
No, the only one I know about is hitting Texas. But no, we're just 1,000 degrees, but we're fine otherwise.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Sprinkle. Ms. Rogers.
Well, earlier Juanita gave a pretty good reference about all of the activities that were taking place with the Fairbanks Diversity Council, and I'm glad to see her here at each of our meetings now. That's very encouraging. I will repeat, though, that she did say that we're seeking new board members for that particular group, and you'll be definitely welcomed and be able to help with some special events that Juanita has already signed up for, the Midnight Sign-In to Tribal Powwow and a whole lot of other activities that we'll be participating in. And I wanted to announce that the opioid work session that we've been participating in for a number of years now, Lindsay Grennan is going to take the position of CEO there this month, and we're really, really pleased that it's going to be someone who's been there for such a long period of time, who's very involved in outreach in the community, and has a real considerable commitment that is necessary for the work that is being done there. So welcome to Lindsay. And I think that's probably going to do it.
Thank you, Ms. Rogers. Mr. Leeworth.
Thank you, Mayor. First, Darlene, it's good to see you again. Darlene, Victoria, and Mr. Sullivan, right? Yeah. I hope you join us again sometime. I know that Council Member Rogers shares a lot of what you say, Darlene, on that, and that's why her hesitancy on that vote. But I really think that there's enough safeguards in there to protect most people, and it's better than what we had for many years. This council wrestled with party houses in this town, and you don't hear as much about them anymore, but our ability to take care of a party house is pretty much nil unless you could get an officer inside the party house to give testimony, sworn testimony. The fact that there is cars all hours of the night next door to you, it was immaterial, and everybody knew what was going on, but you couldn't make a case on it. I remember when I was mayor, it was so frustrating to try and deal with party houses or houses that were vacant with no water and all that. And hopefully you have some tools here that can help you in a situation like that. Otherwise, you're pretty much helpless. I appreciate all of you coming in and giving us your testimony. A quick question for you, Mike. refresh my memory on the solar panels at Public Works. That's a dead deal, yeah.
No, it's not a dead deal. We got a grant for it. It went out to bid. The bid actually just recently closed. It was, I want to say last week, maybe the week before. Unfortunately, the only bid that we had was more than twice of what the grant amount is. Christine is going to put it out one more time to see if we if we get anybody. If after that second time we don't get a bid that comes in with a grant amount that we have, then we can look at, because it will have gone out twice, we'll be able to look at sole sourcing and maybe just go to one of the local providers and say, hey, look, this, I think we have 65,000. Like, hey, this is the, we have, I might be wrong on that. Anyway, we have this amount of money. You know, what could you do? Can you get us a system started with that amount and go from there so that we have something? Probably won't be enough to power the entire warm storage, but it's, if we can get a system started, they're usually expandable. So we'll get it started with a grant, and then maybe if the city council wants to expand it, then that, you know, something that you can do.
Were they looking at on the ground or on up high on the ceiling or on the roof?
Just on the warm storage facility, or just on the ceiling, the roof.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that update. And finally, I saw yesterday some footage from the Anchorage Assembly. And down there, before you give testimony, you have to fill out a piece of paper saying what you're going to give testimony on and what you're going to say, essentially, which seems incredibly nutty to me. But anyway, a gentleman, the footage was of a gentleman who got up and testified to the Assembly about the fact he's leaving and not happy with the direction the city is going or something. But obviously, the presiding officer is not too happy to hear this testimony. But he was very eloquent. He was walking away, and the presiding officer said, don't appreciate you, lying to the Assembly about what you're going to talk about. And he came back and said, that's exactly what I put on the piece of paper. But the banter back and forth, it was just amazing to me. I thought, how to disenfranchise people from ever giving testimony. I saved that video. That was incredible. I just am so glad that we don't go to those extremes here. Thank you.
Madam Clerk.
Okay, I have nothing to report this. I do. Candidate filing will open on July 15th. We are just a week away from that opening up, and it will run through the 29th, which is also a Monday. So for 2 weeks, candidate filing will open. Stop by the city clerk's office if you're interested, or see us online at fairbanksalaska.us. Does the city attorney have anything to report?
Nothing to report this evening, thanks.
Then we're at executive session.
Mr. Clearworth, would you please bring us into executive session?
I move that we go in executive session to discuss one item, labor negotiations with the fire department.
Is there a second? Okay. Any objection? Seeing none, we'll take 5 minutes and reconvene at 8:05.
City Council met in executive session with the negotiations with the fire department. No formal action taken.
Okay, Madam Clerk, going into adjournment. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Please.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any objection? We're adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for the meeting. Greatly appreciate it.